You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
John Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap with another little free sample or taster, if you like, of stuff that's gone out behind the paywall this week. And I'm joined by Neil Atkinson, who interviewed Pep Lindus a few weeks ago now and went out yesterday. And you wanted to speak to Pep for a while. First of all, it always helps when these people have books out and they are a little bit more willing, but you have wanted to have a proper sit down with him for ages.
Yeah, I find him as a character really, really interesting, and the fact that he sort of oscillated in and out of our Liverpudlian lives, I think, is also really interesting as well, the fact that he found his way back. But also because it's within the book, so it helps obviously to be able to touch on that. But what I always wanted to talk to him about was simply coaching. You know, I think that there's ultimately, Pep is a massive voice in amongst this sort of Liverpool football project, but the idea of getting him on what his passion is was what I wanted to do. And the book, what the book did was it gave a real opportunity to be able to do that and explore that a little bit, really. And, you know, from having had the odd conversation with him briefly, or reported back to me conversations, for instance, that you'd had with him on tours and stuff like that, you know, he's aware of what we do. I think, you know, turning up, he was almost a bit gutted that it wasn't a full microphone set up. I got the impression he quite liked to come in here at some point. And I'm sure that's something which, you know, we can see if we can arrange at some point. And because I think he liked the idea of a bit of a round table as well, as much as anything else, and not just sort of the focus being on him. But I was trying to both put the focus on him, but also take it away from him in terms of, you know, I want to talk about the practice, I want to talk about the developmental stuff, because a lot of what was in the book I felt was applicable to a lot of situations. And that's sort of what I think about coaching, full stop, anyway. I don't think, you know, obviously there's an inherently physical component to football coaching, but a lot of this is just sort of unlocking people's potential. And that's always been the bit that, you know, with his passion for, especially for younger people, and, you know, for his lines around, you know, talent needs role models, not criticism and stuff like that. That's always the bit I've wanted to create the room for Pep to talk about. I think I caught him a little bit unawares, because I think he thought he was going to get a lot of book heavy stuff, whereas I was quite determined that we were going to do the big pitch for the book in the bit that went out on tour live, and then there was going to be, you know, me taking him on a bit of a tangent, going a bit left field.
No, he did enjoy it, and I think he enjoys our company generally, and I think, you know, you sort of, you know, you try to look into that, and well, not necessarily look into it, but sort of wonder why, if you like. And I think it's he knows the football's meant to be enjoyed, and I think, you know, that's, I think, why him and Jürgen get on so well, is that obviously, you know, the great tactical minds, and you understand the game in a way that the rest of us, you know, don't sort of quite get to, in terms of how we watch it and the way we watch it, if you like. But he's also well aware that it's meant to be a laugh.
Yeah. What I think is really interesting with him and Jürgen and the football people in general, really, is we can fixate on them as though they are very into one area or another. So you can decide that, and for some of them, this is true, you know. Some of them are very, for instance, I think it would be fair to describe Benitez as someone who was, you know, fixated, for instance, completely on the tactical. and that was the prism through which he enjoyed football. But he simultaneously loved the idea that all these other people love it too. And I can do my bit and they get into this. What I think is interesting about Jürgen and, you know, in the context of this conversation, Pep, is I get the impression they want the option of all the gears themselves on a personal level. Like, I think that they want, you know, there's the footage of Pep in the aftermath of the last minute winner against Newcastle. That is someone who's determined to stick it to people in that moment. And we're all into that because that's what we're about. In the same way, I'm sure the Newcastle bench was determined to stick it to the Liverpool bench. You know, that's the point. And the idea of being able to move between those states of firstly wanting the development of the young people, secondly wanting the idea that all the crowd are with you and that we're all on the same page there, thirdly then wanting the tactical stuff, fourthly wanting the physical stuff, that's sort of... This is the group of people we've ended up with looking after the sort of the football operation at Liverpool. And it's interesting, you know, I almost wouldn't mind, and I'm sure he's not listening to this, but if he fancies it, catching up, because we have that conversation before the run of games, which is ultimately now we can get a little bit of a step back from it. It's just a really weird run of games and results and performances. You know, it's a really odd period of what's happened in the sort of the Linders Klopp project across however many years. There's probably not been a comparable sort of run. Like, you know, when it was bad during the COVID season, when the results were shocking and the performances were a mess, well, that's what happens game after game after game. And then there's also winning massive games, but in the context of being on a really good run, getting unbelievable results, but in the context of other pretty good results. What I don't think we've ever entirely had, maybe not since Klopp's first season, is the idea that you're not quite sure what Liverpool you're going to get and why. And I'm sure they'll have been working really hard on the why. And I am sort of aware that the bid that we've put it out in the, you know, in the context of I'm talking to him before Brighton and we've got everything that's happened since Brighton. And there was a general feel of optimism around everyone prior to Brighton when we were in the AXA that day. You know, we did a number of different bits and pieces and it felt like everyone was pretty upbeat, working really hard. I would hasten to add as well. Everyone was absolutely grafting away.
Yeah.
But there was a sense of things being... And so I'd love that sort of that catch-up because I think, you know, I think where things have been right or wrong for Liverpool, and in some games things have been very right and in some games things have been very wrong, I think that's part of this. You know, it's not one thing. It's not, for instance, they've been doing the wrong thing at right mid, you know, which you know, some managers might say at some point. It's like, I think that there's been stuff where things have really worked for them and there's been a real sort of process. And I'd love to sort of catch back up and get that out of them now. But not, again, not from the idea of, so where did it all go wrong against Leeds? But like the general, when you've been working with these people, these mostly very young men, what's not quite been what you would have expected and what have you learned from it? Because I think that there's a constant process with this Liverpool group of learning from what's gone on.
Yeah. I want to finish talking about his energy because yeah, it's something that Jürgen talks about in Jürgen's, you know, when he signed a new deal, he said, you know, I want to keep my team. So I want the, you know, they need to sign up as well. And it's for a variety of reasons. And listen, some of them have been with him, you know, forever and others are a bit more recent. But I feel like, you know, when he talks about Pep Jürgen, he talks about this energy that he brings and the fact that, you know, he's a bit of a younger guy. And so that sort of helps. But when you're with him, you get that, don't you?
Oh, it absolutely sort of, it courses through him. Like, you know,
and you, by being with him?
Yeah, by virtue of being with him, it courses through, absolutely through, you know, 100%. He's there and he's, you know, he's almost quite, he's quite, again, in a different way to Jürgen, but the similarities in terms of the end product, he manages to be quite larger than life. I think, you know, when you and he's pretty large, but when you're present with him, you know, he's I think he's got that sort of, this is just what he lives for. And, you know, the enthusiasm of that, it comes through in the book, but also just sort of seeing it in person. He genuinely thinks his job every single day is to make the people he works with better. That's it. Every single day. So, and I suspect he probably also views Jürgen in that. I suspect, you know, that day he might have ended up thinking about me in that. Do you know what I mean? Like, how did he find a way to sort of give me some sort of piece of feedback at some point, either during the interview or at a later point, about, you know, this or this? Because that is, some people, when you meet them, you get the impression there's the thing that they've worked out is the thing that they're meant to do. Mm. And they're constantly trying to do it. They don't stop trying to do it. And when that realm is in the sort of the nature of other people, the way in which they interact with other people, it's just present with them at all times. You know, every single day you get the impression he's assessing whether or not he feels as though he's made those footballers better or worse. And that is, and he would always want it to be better, obviously, it goes without saying, but also, you know, the extent to which he's made them better, how has he been part of their development is genuinely his entire raison d'etre. And you don't really... And part of that's being fortunate, and I'm sure if he was part of this conversation now, he'd say, you know, part of it is being fortunate that he does just get to focus in on this thing that he really wants to do. I think when you get to meet people who are in that scenario, because so many of us, firstly, don't have that sort of clarity of thought in terms of what it is we want to do, but also secondly, then often aren't fortunate enough if we have worked that out to end up in a circumstance where that is possible. And so much hard work goes into that, but also luck goes into that, meeting the right people at the right time goes into that. But when you do meet someone like that, you are, you know, quite knocked over by it, to be honest with you. And I think that's what he sort of, what he has, what he brings, you know, and I think within that, he therefore wants every interaction for it to be a positive one for you and for him. He wants that to be, that's got to be your takeaway. You've got to take away a positive interaction. And I think that's, firstly, I mean, what a way to live. That's, you know, it's a pretty good way to live. And if we could all live like that all the time, then the world would be a better place. But also, secondly, as part of that, he is channeling this sort of essence of himself at all stages. And as I say, that is something that is rare. Most people don't get the luck, the fortune, the luck to be able to do it on top of everything else that goes into that. And just to spend a bit of time with someone like that every now and again is genuinely quite refreshing.
We're going to play a clip from it now. I'm not sure which one because we haven't picked it yet. But we will do between now and the time you pick it. But if you do enjoy this, the rest of it is available for audio subscribers and video subscribers as well. We're putting out as audio and video. Did both of them yesterday. And so, yeah, if you want to check that out, if you want to hear or watch the rest of it, you can do that now. TheAnfieldRap.com/subscribe. But I hope you enjoyed that little chat.
Within that, as I make each day a masterpiece, there's... You know, the only easy day is yesterday. There is, within all of this, this idea within that pyramid, I think it's a fascinating construction. I really do, intellectual construction in there. That ends with, it's working towards be able to be the best version of yourself at the moment you need it most. So the idea of, for instance, when you play the game against Manchester City or when you play for double in the UCL final, and everything builds towards that moment.
Yeah, so I believe that in a football season, you can only prepare finals. So us against Leicester in the quarterfinal and being 3-1 down, or us against Chelsea in the final at Wembley. Again, I only believe that you can play finals if you treat from the first day of the season each training session as a final.
Yeah,
you prepare the players for that, and that's what Van Wooten is all about, which you just explained. So, and that's why I believe in as well. You prepare them to succeed in these moments by reaching these moments. And the last part of the pyramid, because a long time I didn't check or read it or study it, because I tried to study it. I think the last part of the pyramid is compete.
Yeah.
And compete is something, what's the ultimate... that you are you go away on the worst pitch in the world and you can still play your football. Yeah, you know what I mean? So this, yeah. Sports Social Podcast Network.